Welcome to the FantasyGuru.com Franchise Focus Podcast. Now here's Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley.
It's time for another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast here at FantasyGuru.com. Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley moving up the draft order in our final week of the Franchise Focus Podcast. We come to the Washington Redskins. Not a very busy offseason for them as it stands so far heading into the draft. So we'll talk about who they lost. The additions, nothing really on offense. It's really been on defense. We'll talk about the fantasy implications, where they could be looking to go in the draft. Where is this team at? What is the state of the Redskins right now? Hint, it's not very good, at least for fantasy. Tough to get too excited about this team. We'll talk all about it coming up in this podcast. Don't forget, as always, you can get your questions in. Use the hashtag FranchiseFocus. Tweet them to us at FantasyGuruSite, at TheMattKemp, at FG underscore Dolan, at FG underscore Brawley. Reactions to previous podcasts, and you certainly have plenty to listen to as we're in our final week of 4 weeks of doing this. Maybe you have questions for future podcasts. We will certainly answer them on Twitter or on future shows. We thank you for being with us once again and remind you that FanDuel is changing the way people play fantasy sports. It's more fun than ever. Don't wait another day. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, the leader in one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. Entry fees start at just $1. Stop waiting 6 months to win a league. Play today and win tonight. You don't have to worry about that season-long commitment, no upfront fees. Already, Joe, with some of these injuries that are out there, maybe you see a young player already getting a call up that has some upside you could be excited about, and maybe you can get him on a cheap price and take advantage of it.
Well, this day and age, the internet makes it so makes everybody a little bit better at fantasy sports because the coverage is everywhere. And, you know, maybe you saw Addison Russell got called up this week to the Cubs, and you rushed your waiver wire in your league, and somebody already had him. Somebody might have drafted him anticipating this. But you can use him in FanDuel. There's no restrictions. Just because somebody else in your little challenge is using them doesn't mean you can't. You can use anybody you want. Use them while their prices are still cheap. Get on the ground floor.
Joe Watson from New York played fantasy sports on FanDuel for less than 2 weeks and won over $30,000. Join him and over 1 million other users who have already won money. FanDuel's paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Here's the special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. All right, guys, let's talk about the Washington Redskins. And in terms of their offseason moves, there's not a lot to get into here. A lot of defensive moves and nothing really big on that side. And, you know, we were talking about this preparing for this podcast. Not exactly a surprise to see that they didn't really shake things up on offense. Well, now, they bring back Colt McCoy, say what you will about that maneuver. But is that insurance, or is that actually to bring a guy in that could actually compete for the starting job?
And, I mean, I think their hope is not to compete. It's hope is that it's an insurance play for Robert Griffin, but who knows what we have in Robert Griffin. But it was a really reasoned, methodical approach to the offseason for Washington with new GM Scott McLuhan.
Something we haven't seen from Daniel Snyder teams in the past.
It's almost like
they always make the splash, or try to make the splash.
This is always a kind of a podcast we'd be looking forward to in the past because you get to talk a lot. And to be quite honest with you, I'm not entirely confident how long this podcast is going to be.
That's what I said. It's kind of a state of where the Redskins are right now because not much has changed. And well, let's get into the quarterbacks here because it's a big question mark. I mean, you would think that RG3 is going to start, but it's not a lock. And a couple of years ago, if you said that to somebody, well, a couple of years, I don't know if he's going to be the guy, they'd think you're nuts, but that's where we're at right now. Now,
the big question going into last year was he going to fit into Jay Gruden's system here? And I really don't think we've got much of an answer a year later.
I don't know if those two are on the same page.
We saw quite a bit of friction between those two. And
I mean, credit to Jay Gruden for realizing that maybe this guy has issues here. It's not just the injury. Maybe he's a problem. And Jay Gruden not pulling any punches. Other coaches may go, I'm going to protect my job. I know that, you know, the quarterback is tight with the owner. We've all heard those stories. But Gruden has had no problems criticizing Robert Griffin fairly, might I add. And has said, you know, he went to Kirk Cousins. He went to Colt McCoy. They kind of just had to go back to RG3 at the end of the season. But they don't have a clear-cut answer right now at the quarterback position. I don't think they're going to go out and try to find one or look in the draft or anything like that. But they don't know what they have right now. And RG3 is at somewhat of a crossroads here in his career. After his rookie season, okay, really strong year, gets hurt, as we know, rushed back clearly, wasn't ready to play. Year number two did not go as well. And then year three, where he was healthy in the offseason, getting ready for it, things just did not go well, gets hurt early again, and that was a problem for him. We saw a little bit of Kirk Cousins flash. That did not last. You know, that whole Kirk Cousins could go for 9 first-rounders campaign is already dead and buried. God. But there was that thought that, oh, maybe they have a better guy in Kirk Cousins. They don't, but it doesn't mean that RG3 is that far ahead of Cousins because we don't know where he is right now. And for fantasy, look, we didn't get much out of him. He appeared in 9 games, 7 starts. He wasn't getting the job done, not even close to, you know, 39th at the position, 13.8 fantasy points per game. Their best fantasy quarterback last year was arguably Colt McCoy, and we're not getting excited about anybody, but I mean, if you look at, Colt McCoy and what the rest of the guys did when he was on the field, he was kind of our best option for guys like DeSean Jackson and a little bit of Pierre Garçon. At least the offense looked like it had something going with Colt McCoy, which is probably just more of an indictment of the team as a whole.
Yeah, and I think that why we saw them, you know, stay pretty quiet this year, this is the last year for RG3 here. If he doesn't show something, this team is going to move on from, you know, where they are right now. That's why I don't think they made many big splashes here. They want to see where their quarterback is. And this will be a make-or-break year, as we were saying. He's at a crossroads here.
And, well, we've already heard the Marcus Mariota rumors, the rumors that they're already ready to move on from Robert Griffin. It's just almost a tragic fall from where he was 2 years ago. If you remember, correct me if I'm wrong, he won Rookie of the Year over Andrew Luck, correct?
I believe he was Offensive Rookie of the Year, if I'm not mistaken. I mean,
and completely valid.
Oh, he was great. Valid. I mean, everything fit there that year.
And then the injury, they rushed him back. See, they played him when they shouldn't have.
That's my question. Where do you think, I mean, if you said right now, give me an idea where RG3 is at, what has happened? The injury is part of it, but some of this has to be on, is he that good? Does he fit the offense? Are there issues in terms of his work ethic and not wanting to get better? I mean, there's been some issues in terms of his attitude. I don't know what that means.
I think there's a lot of similarities here on a bigger level to Colin Kaepernick. You know, right. RG3 had an amazing rookie year. He led his team into the playoffs, won a division.
Yeah.
Colin Kaepernick,
a lot of success early.
Colin Kaepernick took over and led his team to a Super Bowl. Look, you don't do those things
as a first
if you're not good.
Right.
Or many first-year quarterbacks don't do that either. That's expectations get blown out of
And remember with Kaepernick, that was year two, and he nearly got traded that offseason. Yep. They didn't know where they were at with him. So
he barely played his rookie.
Right, remember, exactly.
Put him in.
This is RG3 as a rookie doing this stuff.
This is what's puzzling to me, because you don't do those things in the NFL, at least for a consistent run, unless you're good.
Right.
Now, what does good mean? Because we discussed Colin Kaepernick on the 49ers podcast. The guy, you can argue, has gotten worse.
Yes.
At the very best, he's plateaued. But does that mean he was never that good in the first place?
Was it fluky?
Well, yeah, and I think defenses and coaches have adjusted to what they're seeing, and those guys haven't made the same adjustments back.
I also think you look at the teams that they're on and how much pressure is on RG3, and it's a point I brought up last season, or two seasons ago, when you rushed him back, and he did not play at all until week one. He had a pretty tough schedule in terms of facing teams with great offenses, and his team had bad defense. So there's even more pressure on him to lead the team and carry the team. I'm not going to make an excuse for, you know, or say that Russell Wilson didn't get help or, oh, because he had a great defense, it helped, you know, that's why he was able to kind of be hidden. They didn't really hide him, but when you're a young quarterback and you do have, you know, a good team around you, it's not all on you. And that's kind of how it's been for Russell Wilson in Seattle. Your progression can maybe come a little slower or they could be smarter with it. The Redskins rushed RG3 back and their team stunk around him. It was a good offense, at least in terms of the talent they had, but their defense was bad. So there's a lot more pressure on, all right, you're losing the game. You got to be out there and handle your business. Russell Wilson's been in a nice situation early in his career where he's had a great defense and he's had a great ground game. Not that Alfred Morris isn't that guy, but he's had a better team around him. Nothing has gone right for RG3. Now, part of that's on him, part of that's on the team, part of that's on the injury. Everything that could go wrong for him in the last 2 years has gone wrong. And the problem is here, guys, going into the season, I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel right now. We have seen no positive attributes from this guy in 2 years. And I mean, how can we feel good about the rest of this team with us not knowing what's going on at quarterback?
And the one thing we loved about him was his legs, and he looks completely like a different player now. He doesn't have that same burst. I mean, that's why he was so good for fantasy that first year. He could get out of any situation and pick up yardage with his feet. He just doesn't have that same burst. So if a guy's a mediocre quarterback to begin with, and he doesn't have the legs,
right?
I mean, what do we have?
He needs, and we've talked about this, and we've kind of been, there's been the old school that these running quarterbacks, they'll never last the NFL, and some of that's just, you know, BS. But the point that's always been made is they need to develop into an all-around quarterback.
Griffin at times looked like he had no idea
right.
what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And I remember Gruden did a nifty bit of coaching, and at one point Griffin had a decent game from the pocket and distributed the ball.
I think when he came back from the injury, right? It was kind of a nice comeback.
Yeah, but at this point, you just got to wonder if the guy's broken. And I do kind of feel bad for him. I mean, I think, yeah, as you said, a lot of this is probably on him. The fact that, I mean, he doesn't set his feet at all. He looks scared. But how scared would you be after your team puts you on the field
right.
when you, I mean, it's basically,
let's not put this all on a team, though, too. He was the star.
Right.
He was dictating, I'm going to play week one. If
right.
you guys remember 2 years ago, he was dictating a lot of it.
They did go along with it, though, too.
Yes, they did. He was the star.
Right.
He had that success way too early. So a lot of this is on RG3, too. And that's why I think Gruden last year started trying to put him in his place a little bit.
Which I think was a good thing. I think you need that when you've had all the success that he's had. And that's not a big credit to him. That's why he is where he's at this point. But it's also a detriment to him. So now with us not really knowing what's going on at quarterback with him or whoever it may be, can we feel that good about this team? And you know, you look at the receiving corps, and DeSean Jackson kind of survived everything last year. He got banged up at times, but 56 catches, not a high number there, but 1169 in a yardage, 6 touchdowns, 20.9 yards per catch on 94 targets, catch rate below 60%, the number 21 wide receiver, 14 fantasy points per game, top six games with 100 yards, also had fewer than 50 in 6 other games, 5 receptions just 2 other times. This reminds us, I think, of his time with the Eagles before Chip Kelly.
You know what? That's kind of what we predicted he would be. He was going to be pre-Chip Kelly DeSean, and he was.
He actually had a little nicer season than you'd expect given the quarterback disaster.
3 different quarterbacks,
20.9 yards per catch. I mean, that's freaking ridiculous.
He's a guy that you go, if I put him in my lineup, I don't know if you ever feel great about it. You know he can be great, but you also go, 2 for 20 is probably coming.
He's a daily fantasy guy who wins you or loses you.
He's great in NFL 10s, I'm sure, in terms of that upside having, because you don't care, all right, he had a 2 for 20 this week. I don't think you take him in an NFL 10 as your number two, because I think you know that there's going to be weeks where he's not even worth putting in your lineup, and that's what drives you nuts about him. How about Pierre Garçon last season? Because I don't know if there was a bigger drop-off in fantasy football from 2013 to 2014 than Garçon. 113, 13, 46, 5 on 181 targets in 2013. 5 receptions in every game, 17.5 fantasy points per game. Yes, he was pretty much the only reliable guy there. That was a big part of it. But last season, 68, 752, 3 on 105 targets, 56th among wide receivers, 10.1 fantasy points per game. Hit double-digit targets just three times, five catches in only four games, double-digit fantasy points in just six games. Didn't score a touchdown after week number seven.
He had five receptions in every game in the previous year. He did it just four times this past year. What the hell happened here with Pierre Garçon?
He went from being arguably he was a wide receiver one in 2013.
At least in PPR.
Being a guy that you might have cut last year in the middle of the season to go get somebody else on the waiver wire.
He was useless.
It was fair to expect a drop-off.
We thought there would be some regression, but
not cut in half nearly.
He went from reliable to useless. Mm-hmm. He's reliable. I got Garçon and... maybe I drafted him as a high number two, and he's really only a high number three, but I can still use him. There was none of that.
56. And there wasn't even if you look at the game logs, a little run here and there. I mean, it never happened. Nope. His numbers were pretty much cut in half. So, as you said, there's a drop-off you build in there, of course. But it's not like Deshaun. I mean, 94 targets. Pretty normal for a number two receiver. Nothing crazy there. Bad defense. Plenty of targets to go around. They're throwing the ball. It just didn't happen. Three quarterbacks will do that to you. Some guys just can't overcome that. Andre Roberts was brought in. He didn't do much. They had Ryan Grant, fifth-round pick. Expectations were pretty high, at least coming from the team. Had just seven catches on 15 targets. So they don't have a lot to get excited about in terms of the wide receivers. Now, at tight end, man, Jordan Reed has shown us some flashes in the last two seasons. But concussions in 2013 and hamstring issues in 2014, we don't see the guy enough to really get invested in him. Niles Paul, to his credit, did step up in Reed's absence, but, nothing outstanding there. He played in every game. He got seven starts, 39, 507, one touchdown on 51 targets, the number 29 tight end. Hot starter cooled off after that. Remember, he had 18, 253, and one, but never more than three receptions the rest of the way. Both of these guys are back with the team. We'd like to get excited about Jordan Reed.
They brought Paul back. He's always hurt.
Right.
I don't know how you got excited about him. He's a late waiver.
The big thing was when Reed played, he was only playing 50% of the snaps, too. They were splitting snaps right down the middle. I mean, Reed has tight end number one, potential, but with the injuries and the lack of snaps, how can you get too excited about this guy?
He's also a little different. He's 6'2", 237, so you think of the pure pass-catching tight ends, a little bit more size you'd like from that spot. That's not a big player at all. So, you can't, besides the RG3 stuff, you just can't get all that excited about a guy like Jordan Reed because you don't know when he's going to be on the field. And Paul did a nice job, but once again, how much do you really want to invest in this offense? And I think that brings us to Alfred Morris. Roy Helu's gone. We know that. He's an Oakland Raider now. We know he was catching the football and stealing looks here and there. But look, Alfred Morris has been a really good player in his first three seasons. I'd say even underrated. But in fantasy, he's killing us. And I don't put that on him. Started all 16 games, ran 265 times, 1,074 yards. His yards have gone down each season since an unbelievable rookie year. Eight touchdowns, actually had 17 catches, which is unbelievable. You don't expect Morris to average over a catch a game. 17 for 155, 25 targets. Those are ridiculous career highs just because he never caught the ball really before. He was the number 23 running back, 11.7 fantasy points per game. Played just 56% of the snaps, a little low for lead back. Helu in there. We always have to worry about Darrell Young stealing touches. Ugh. I mean, that guy drives us nuts. Morris is a really good player, and on a better team, I think we'd be a lot more excited about him. But on this team, it is tough to get pumped up about him because it's not a good offense. He doesn't get as many opportunities as we'd like.
Bad defense doesn't help. He's a closer. He's a guy the teams would be feeding the ball.
That's when he was great in for fantasy. Lo and behold, Washington was good in 2012.
So he's awesome.
Alfred Morris is second in the league in rushing. He's scoring touchdowns. Doesn't matter that he's not catching the ball. They've been bad the last 2 years. He's been bad for fantasy. I mean, this is not a guy I want.
Yeah, they're not going to be any better. Well, they'll be a little better defensively.
I do want to see.
Not going to get too excited.
Who they draft? Because I expect them to add a back in the draft because they lost Roy Helu.
Right.
I think they kind of like Chris Thompson and Silas Red.
Yeah, they do have those guys.
They're young guys. They've drafted the last couple years too. So I'm not positive that they're going to go after a running back, early at least.
Let's get in some NFL data. Let's start with Alfred Morris, because I'm interested to see if people are starting to really back off him, especially in that kind of format. Now you go,
he doesn't really have huge games. He only had one 100-yard rushing game last year.
That's trouble, too.
You know, like, that's the thing. It's like, well, if you have Morris in an NFL 10, you're like, I don't really have to worry about, you know, the days when Helu or Thompson or Red or whomever takes over. Well, he only had one 100-yard game.
He played every game. He stayed pretty healthy. He was the number 23 running back, but he's about as boring as a low number two as you can get.
The problem with Morris, and we've discussed stuff like this in the past, is the last couple of years, it's been touchdown or bust.
Yeah.
If he doesn't score a touchdown, he's in trouble.
So as we said, he's finishing as a low number two last year. Not exciting. Where is he going in NFL 10 format?
And this is fascinating to me, guys, because I'm not confident I like this. So far in NFL 10s, he's going about pick 36.5. Late third, early fourth. Doesn't sound terrible to you, but he's going off the board as the number 15 running back, which makes him high too.
Oh, man.
Guys, I just looked at him. Now, here's the one advantage to Morris. He's always healthy. He's never missed a game.
Right.
Yep. And he's the no doubt
he's
guy.
Their guy. Yeah.
But the last 2 years in 32 games in PPR, which is my NFL 10s are, he's had 3 games of 20 or more fantasy points. I mean, that's a low upside pick. Now, I think he's more of a high ceiling, high floor, low ceiling type of guy. But listen to some of these guys going after him on average in NFL 10s. Mark Ingram.
Ooh,
I'd take him over Morris. Justin Forsett.
Take Forsett.
I'd want over Morris. Joik Bell. I'd probably want over Morris. He's a guy who's had big games in the
catches the ball.
Yeah.
Todd Gurley. Now,
who knows?
That's all.
Who knows? There's guys.
But he's going to probably play right away no matter what.
There's guys.
Unless his knee's an issue.
In Todd Gurley. There's guys who ignore rookies in NFL 10s. There's guys who overrate them. So I always take those with grains of salt. Latavius Murray. He's a guy who had bigger games than Morris last year. Giovanni Bernard.
I'd take Gio over him.
He's
all
now. Bernard is a guy who probably isn't going to put up the consistent value of Morris, but he'll probably have a big game here or there.
Catches the ball.
Jonathan Stewart. I think Jonathan Stewart actually has been one of my favorite kind of mid-round type of NFL 10 backs so far because of his potential to lead the backfield. I don't see me drafting Alfred Morris on NFL 10 teams at this stage.
Well, not in that spot. That's not a spot. We drafted him there last year, and that's not a spot you want to get him. I mean, he hasn't produced there. He's a fourth-round guy
at this
point. And
I remember saying last year, if you get him in the third round or the late second, it'll be better. It really wasn't, was it? Because you were never excited. It almost felt like you hit the lottery if Morris scored a touchdown. And I believe, actually, guys, he had 2 multi-touchdown games. So, I mean, he wasn't even scoring them consistently.
He doesn't score enough. He gets no touchdowns catches. Vultured away. He doesn't catch the ball enough. He plays on a bad team. You put that all together, I like the guy in reality. He's a really good player, but there's way too much downside.
Tom saying bad defense was just like they use Helu and Darryl Young in hurry-up situations or short yardage situations over Alfred Morris.
Now will be Chris Thompson, Silas Red, next guy up. I mean, it's not a situation that I want to buy into.
He is not a running back in this day and age of fantasy that you get excited about. You just can't. That's a big difference there. There's a player with a big difference between fantasy and reality. Teams would kill to have Alfred Morris as their starting running back. But in fantasy, I'm actually surprised he finished as high as he did last year. So let's get into the wide receivers here. Where are they lining up here in NFL 10s? First of all, DeSean Jackson, he was their best last year.
And as you guys mentioned, pretty good NFL 10 type
Absolutely.
Of guy.
Format guy, yep.
I think he's going in a really fair spot. Pick 57.38 makes him a late fifth round pick.
Okay.
Number 24 receiver overall for a guy like that. I think that's a very worthwhile gamble.
Gets pushed down a little bit in redraft leagues.
Remember, in NFL 10s, NFL 10s are very conducive to like the number two type of receivers because they can have a big game here or there and you don't have to worry when they're not really having a great season overall.
So he finished as a number two last year, but like I was saying before, he seems like a guy that I don't think you rely on him to be your number two week in and week out. Like, if you took DeSean Jackson where you did, you probably take another one soon after, maybe a more reliable kind of PPR guy, a guy that you know is catching the ball more and is a little bit more consistent, maybe doesn't have the upside of DeSean Jackson. I think that comes into play as well. Now, Pierre Garçon is coming off a terrible season, but 2 years ago, he's one of the best.
2 years. See, and I think when you look at where Pierre Garçon's getting drafted in MFL 10s, I think it's extremely fair to take the "oh, look at what he did 2 years ago" approach, because it doesn't require a big investment. Pick 122.41. That's a 10th, 11th round cusp pick, 51st receiver off the board, which is about where he finished last year. So if you think there's even a chance he finishes kind of in between what he did
right
in 2013 and 2014, that's going to be one of my favorite receivers to pluck in the later rounds. It's not like Pierre Garçon got worse.
Yeah, I mean, that's a low risk.
And it's exactly potentially the investment reward, is not strong there.
I'm not excited about him by any stretch of the imagination.
At 51, you're not really excited about anybody.
He's
right
going
there
after Cody Latimer, who I think caught two passes last year. I mean, look, you can say Cody Latimer's in Denver's offense. I'd take Garçon over Latimer if I'm just looking for production this year.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Solid. And then finally, Jordan Reed, in terms of where he is going, because I know there's some upside there that may play into the format. I know you're also feeling, well, as soon as I take him, I got to get somebody else, or maybe he's behind somebody.
Once again, though, this time, you're not paying a premium for a guy who you can't rely on. Pick 144.02, 12th, 13th round, 19th tight end off the board, going after Josh Hill and Kyle Rudolph. Josh Hill, who we don't really know what he would do with a bigger role. Kyle Rudolph, who's never been able to stay healthy either. I think that's a fair spot for Jordan Reed. So this is a team, aside from Morris, that I think has interesting later values in the event that Griffin can just regroup a little bit.
Yep, and that's the big question for the season. Can he regroup at all?
As we look at the draft here for these guys, I mean, defenses, first and foremost, has to be what they're looking at. There's no doubt about that. I mean, there's issues everywhere on this defense. Secondary's been a problem for years, and O-line, too.
Good draft for both.
Yep.
I think the popular mock pick, and I completely agree with this, is a Vic Beasley, Dante Fowler, who I expect to go a little bit higher, but could fall, Randy Gregory. Those edge rushers are going to be very appealing to Washington at five, and I think that should be a position of need. They lost Brian Arakpo.
Right.
Kerrigan's a guy who's dealt with injuries in his career. They spent the pick on Trent Murphy in the second round last year, but he's one of those kind of outside linebackers who's not really a pass rusher. He's more of a dropping into coverage, have him set the edge type of outside linebacker, not a really a consistent pass
rusher.
They need
impact players on defense. And then, you know, Tom had mentioned running back, and I think that could be something they might look at. You know, do they try to get a pass catcher there? Do they get a guy who's more well-rounded than Alfred Morris?
They've spent picks on these couple guys here in recent years. I think they're going to – they have enough needs elsewhere to look at, you know, a running back. Maybe
could be a
later.
day three type thing.
But
You're right. They spent the fifth round pick on Chris Thompson.
Yeah, they like him. They
have Silas Red still around there.
You know what might be interesting here? If Jay Gruden, David Johnson, the running back from Northern Iowa. Now, his name has been all over draft experts' boards. Some said, "Oh, I wouldn't be shocked if this guy went in the second round." Others think he doesn't run with enough functional strength, should be a fifth-round pick, but he's a pass catcher. And if they really don't believe in Morris as a pass catcher, or they don't like what they have in Red or Thompson, he could be an interesting guy to look for. So that's going to be fascinating. And I think if they don't draft a running back, I might feel just a little bit better about Morris. But it also is a signal that you should keep an eye on Chris Thompson and Silas Red, because Roy Helu was a guy, we talked about this last year, if you were really hurting on game day.
No, he was solid. He's good for three or four catches a game.
You're in a PPR league, he might put up 10 points for you because he might catch five passes. Yep.
Tough to get pretty excited about the Redskins for fantasy. We'll see if they can have a little bit of a bounce back season in 2015. Reminder once again that FanDuel is changing the way people play fantasy sports. It's more fun than ever. Sign up now to play one day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. Entry fees start at just $1. You don't have to wait 6 months to win a league. You can play today and win tonight. You can pick a brand new team any day you want. And you know, coming off of sometimes, Tom, those, you know, travel days or not as many games are being played. Maybe you just want to limit yourself to when everybody's, you know, on the schedule. Maybe a kind of a midweek kind of deal if you're just kind of working your way in. You got more options that way.
Yeah, maybe your favorite team is off for the day. You know, sure. It's a Thursday and you want to watch a game. Your favorite team's not on TV that night. Gives you something to watch. You pick and choose a couple different players and can watch a couple different games.
Joe Watson from New York played fantasy sports on FanDuel for less than 2 weeks and won over $30,000. Join him and over 1 million other users who have already won money. FanDuel is paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel matches with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. And that's a bonus of up to $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. And as we come to the end of the podcast here, reminder that we will be hitting the final few teams here in this last week of the Franchise Focus podcast. And if you have reactions or questions for the final few podcasts we have coming up on the Raiders, the Jaguars, the Titans, the Vikings, and the Buccaneers, use the hashtag Franchise Focus. Tweet them to us at Fantasy Guru Site, at the Matt Camp, at FG_Dolan, at FG_Brawley. And also reminder that at FantasyGuru.com, you have till the end of April to take advantage of the Early Bird Special, $24.95 for the 2015 season. That's $5 off the regular price. In addition to these podcasts, you can also check out the pre-draft rookie report that Tom and Joe did. We'll have the post-draft rookie report and a stock watch soon after the draft is complete. Also, the podcast from John Hansen and Greg Cosell, the post-free agency podcast, the pre-draft rookie report podcast there. Mike Horn, statistical analysis. He's looking at the offensive identities for each team with the new coaches.
Check these articles out. Yes. They're really cool.
We will be featuring a lot of this stuff in our player profiles this year as well, and those are underway and a big undertaking, but we put them out there very comprehensive. So a lot for you to get your hands on even before the season gets underway, $24.95 before the end of this month. Take advantage of that early bird special. For Joe Dolan and Tom Brawley, I'm Matt Camp. Thank you for listening to another edition of the Franchise Focus podcast right here at FantasyGuru.com.